Hello everyone. You know, time flies so fast. Today we are already at the mid-August. You know, season come, season go. And then the season that we want to go is that the pandemic to go. But let us look at the brighter side. You know, by the rate of vaccination that is going on, we really want to thank God for that. And even the brighter side, we are in durian season. All right, that's wonderful. Now, we are also in a season of fasting and praying, okay, organized by the NECF. And I believe, all right, you are in this, that we can pray together. So whatever God has been calling you, okay, to do, okay, this is a season, all right, to do that for the Lord. Okay, let's honor Him with that. Now, we are now in this four-part series, and you hear from Jackie just now as well, okay, a series that we call More Than a Song. Okay, this series is a worship series when we look into the book of Psalms, particularly Psalms that were written by David, the Psalmist David or King David. Now, I want to say that in every Psalms that you read or that was written, there is a story, okay, behind it. So that we are looking at the different circumstances that David is going through. You know, in part one, I talk about in times of battle. Okay, it's the story of David and Goliath and how God, okay, is fighting for you in the battle that you are in. You know, last week, it's part two, we hear from Mio, okay, in times of weakness. Okay, in those times, what do? Then you find that David always seeking God. David is the one that always inquire of the Lord. So remember God's power, love, and His word. And it's very important how you respond to Him. But the big question in all this four-part series is about trying times. So in those trying times, and we look in the life of David, are you still able to worship God? Okay, wherever you are. So today I'm going to talk about in times of injustice, especially when you look at those things around you and do not go according to the way you want to. Okay, are you still able to worship God? So today's story will be a continuing story from last week. Okay, last week we talked about Psalm 63 and on the 1 Samuel 23. Today we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 24. It's a continuous story of David's fugitive. But in this round, David and his men are running, and King Saul was burned with jealousy and wanted to kill him. So as we look at Psalm 7, as we read that, allow me to read that, and we will look at, okay, the story behind this Psalm 7. All right, so Psalm 7 is known as a Psalm of Justice. And during those period, David actually wrote many psalms, okay, through all the happening that's going around his life. He wrote many psalms, like Psalms 18, 52, 54, and so on. Okay, Psalm 7, okay, I want to read from the Good News Translation. Okay, that says this: O Lord my God, I come to you for protection. Rescue me and save me from all who pursue me. Or else, like a lion, they will carry me off where no one can save me, and there they will tear me to pieces. Verse 3 and 4, O Lord my God, if I have wronged anyone, if I have betrayed a friend, or without cause done violence to my enemy, if I have done any of these things, then let my enemies pursue me and catch me. Let them cut me down and kill me and leave me lifeless on the ground. Wow, you can see the emotion, okay, of David himself when he was writing this and how King Saul was aftering him. Verse 6, rise in your anger, O Lord. Stand up against the fury of my enemies. Rouse yourself and help me. Justice is what you demand. So bring together all the people around you and rule them from above. Verse 8, you are the judge of all people. Judge in my favor, O Lord. You know that I am innocent. You are a righteous God and judge our thoughts and desire. Stop the wickedness of evildoers and reward those who are good. And verse 10, God is my protector. Okay, He saved those who obey Him. Verse 11, God is a righteous judge and always condemns the wicked. Verse 12, if they do not change their ways, God will sharpen His sword. He will bend His bow and makes it ready. He takes up His deadly weapons, aim His burning arrows. See how wicked people think up evil. They plan trouble and practice deception. But in the traps they set for others, they themselves get caught. So they are punished by their own evil and are hurt by their own violence. And then Psalmist David in verse 17, he said, I thank the Lord for His justice. I sing praises to the Lord, the Most High. Let us pray. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we explore, okay, this series, and we look at the life of David in different circumstances of his life. Father, I ask, oh God, even as we look at Psalm 7, and how, the story behind it is the 1 Samuel chapter 24, as we explore that, Holy Spirit, come, teach us, guide us, even in times of injustice, how should we respond to that? In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone say, Amen. All right, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had enemies? Wow. You know how you wish, you know, when you're working in a company or in a company of your friends, and the time when you are, you, the last day of your work, and you're going to move on to another job, and then you have all your colleagues, okay, coming together, and they testify of you. You know, how do you like when your director or your superior stand up and say, I'd like to testify so-and-so, have I known this person? He never have enemies. The testimony is that, I know this guy, he have enemies all around him. Wow, what would that be? You know, I read this story about an interview, all right? A reporter was interviewing an old man on his 100th birthday and asked, sir, what are you most proud of? The old man said, well, I don't have an enemy in the world already. I don't have any enemy, so to speak, all right? So the reporter said, wow, that's quite an achievement, said the reporter. Then the old man replied, yep, because I have outlived all of them. If you're not getting it, that means all his alumni already died because he has lived to 100 years, all right? Now, my next question will be, probably will be, this will be more familiar to you. Have you ever heard about, it is not fair? Have you ever said that? Now, there are so many stories that I can think of that you probably think this is not fair. While growing up among your siblings, when your brother or sister get more cookies than you, and you tell your mother, this is not fair, right? What about when you see your father grant every request of your sister's wishes, and you say, this is not fair. Or your mom, okay, agreed to everything, okay, your brother say. You say, this is not fair. What about sometimes in education, okay, when you get 7 A's and your friend who only got 1 A, your friends who got 1 A got into medicine and you only got nursing. Not fair. Okay, what about you're in a mall and you're queuing up and it's a free gift, but when it comes to your turn, no more left. Not fair. You've been queuing up for 3 hours. Not fair. Okay, what about in work, in office? You work so hard, and yet you've been abused. People say all kinds of things towards you. Some people who are not doing any work, but they get promotion and get pay rise. Or pay rise, correct, right? Pay raise. What do you say? Not fair. Isn't it true that there's nothing fair in this world? And people fight for their rights, and at the same time demand for justice. And you can see all this happening every day, probably in your life. But each time when there's any injustice, who will make it right? Okay, that's the question, okay, probably we ponder in our mind. Today, as we look at this Psalm 7, what's the story behind? So this is a story of David, where David got the golden opportunity, okay, to eliminate, okay, the one that has wronged him, the one who have pursued him, the one that wanted to kill him. The golden opportunity has come for David. So my friends, in time of justice, what will you do? So in this story that we are looking at, David was searching for God's vindication. And as we look at 1 Samuel 24, there are many segments in David's life. All right, so we are looking at this particular segment where David was searching for God's vindication. All right, now, so question that probably you'll be pondering about, when everything is going against you, what will you do? Will you still worship God? When you see there's no hope in that, in whatever that you are going through. So we're going to explore 1 Samuel chapter 24. This is the moment has reached the height, okay, of this pursuit. All right, now, let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 24, reading from verse 1. Okay, verse 1, verse 2. When Saul returned from following the Philistine, he was told, behold, David is in the wilderness of En Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men, out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in front of the wall goat's rocks. You know, I show this map, okay, that you could see, and look out for all these names, okay. These are the names, towns and cities that David and his men, okay, are in the run, okay, running in the fugitive, all right, now. So many things are already taking place when we come to chapter 24, all right. Now, the moment or the story of David and Goliath has passed, all right. So if I will give you a bit of background, is where in chapter 10 is where Prophet Samuel anointed, okay, Saul as king. Right now, chapter 15, the Lord rejected Saul because of his disobedience. When it comes to chapter 16, Prophet Samuel been asked by God, like a secret mission, to go to Jesse's house and anoint David, okay, which is a shepherd boy. Chapter 17, as I talk about, there's a story of David and Goliath. But 18, 19 was there the story of King Saul being so jealous, okay, of David because the victory that David gotten, and the people are shouting and singing that David, King Saul, 1,000, but David could slay 10,000. Okay, so that caused King Saul to be so jealous, and that King Saul wanting to kill David. So that was the moment that David fled. Okay, he fled for his life. Now, from that point of that jealousy that King Saul has allowed the evil spirit to overtake him. Okay, which means he allowed, okay, jealousy, okay, evil spirit, anger, bitterness, rebelliousness to enter him, and he was all out, okay, to kill David. Now, through all this fugitive that David and his men, it takes about 8 to 10 years. Friends, you have a feel of, if you have injustice for a period of 8 to 10 years, what will you do? What kind of stage of discouragement, depression that you are going through? So when you look at the map that I show you, this is the moment that David and his men, there are 600 of them, all right, now. So they move from city of Keilah. Okay, last week Mio said about that. Okay, that's the time they fight against Philistine. They save Keilah people, and then news leak, okay, to Saul. It's like a movie. You have spies over at David's camp, and how they have sent messages. Okay, Saul knew every spot, okay, that David and his men, okay, were going. All right, so you can see again, out from there, he moved to the countryside of the wilderness of Jeb, and then they move on to Maon. Then they come to a place called the wilderness of En-Gedi. Okay, now, so this is a place that they were in. Now, in 2018, I have an opportunity to be at the Holy Land. Now, when we pass through this place, En-Gedi, it's at the west coast, okay, of the Dead Sea. Now, when we're passing through all those, there's nothing. It's all like desert. It's just like caves, all right? And that is, nobody wants to go there, right? Nothing actually lives there in that sense, All right, so in 1 Samuel 23, chapter 23, verse 14, says that Saul sought for David every day. Can you imagine you have an enemy that come after you every day? When you in the office, they come and say all kind of things, words to you every day in your office. Imagine how jealous and paranoia was King Saul was over once upon a time a shepherd boy, that's David, okay, to now for 8-10 years, all right, now. When people of that kind of stage, it's like you're having someone that is so jealous and paranoia and all those, sending you message. You know, in a short time, you see that when you open up your phone, wow, 100, some probably 200-300 messages. What is this guy, crazy? How many of you have a moment where battery dead, fall flat, okay, you couldn't get your phone charged. When you get home and you on your phone and charge, wow, 300 over messages. But let's say if it's 300 over messages just came from one person or a missed call. Now, why do I say that? Because in verse 1-2 just now, it stated that King Saul took 3,000 chosen warriors to go after one person, that's David. Of course, he has 600 men. Right? That's crazy. Now, we come to verse 3, and he came to the sheepfold by the way, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to relieve himself. And now David and his men were sitting in the innermost part of the cave. Imagine all the cave. And you're wondering, right, if all I was just telling you, we passed through that place, En-Gedi. We were told, okay, that's En-Gedi. That was the place there. Okay, King Saul and David was hiding. All right, now. Imagine, there were so many caves. So that means so many holes. And so Juna, so accurate that King Saul chose this hole, chose this cave where King David's man and his men was hiding in the innermost of the cave. Now, what happened to King Saul? The Bible is very interesting. He said that King Saul went in to relieve himself. What does that mean? He go there to either small business or big business. I guess it's a big business. All right, now. So when that happened, right, the story is such that this is the golden opportunity. If you want to attack your enemy, the moment, the most vulnerable moment that your enemy cannot even respond is when his underpants are down. All right. Okay, he can't even defend himself. Okay, this is a moment. So I want to ask this big question is, what will you do in times of injustice? And I would like to give you three proposals as I look into these stories. All right, now, number one, what will you do in times of injustice? I could only think of, number one, is either you get even or you give mercy. So guess what all David's men were saying? So that means all of them were hiding. And they saw King Saul came in and relieved himself, all right? All kings, all these David's men telling David, David, this is the day that the Lord has made for you. Yeah, this is what it says, right? So when you look at verse 4, and the men of David said to him, here is the day which the Lord said to you, behold, I give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall be, seems good to you. Then David arose stealthily, okay, cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Can you imagine that? The opportunity came and all whoever beside him said, this is the moment, this is the day, this is the time, the one that going after you, this is the moment you take revenge. Nobody, okay, will blame you for that. And King David, if you do that, you save all our life. It's a good thing, right now. So in other words, what will you do, okay, when you come a moment like this? I believe when you go through a moment like this, maybe you pray for justice. Maybe you want to get even. Maybe you ask God what to do, what's the best thing to do to take revenge. And when the moment come, you do it and say, yeah, I win Liao. Is it? Well, let me ask you this question. Okay, would you get even or give mercy? Now look at what happened to David, verse 5 to 7. And afterward, David's heart struck him because he had cut off a corner of Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord anointed. So David persuaded his men and he did these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went on his way. Now, imagine, see what is happening here. David, after cutting the corner of the rope, and then verse 5 said, David's heart was struck. Friend, this is the real heart attack. Really, his heart was being attacked. That means there was a deep conviction came into David's heart. This is the Lord's king, the Lord's anointed. What am I doing? Friends, how many of us have moments where we say, not so nice things, okay, to your parents. When you probably say also not so nice things, the way you responded to your boss or how you have behaved or spoken things that show disrespect to people that above you, and you know inside you is so wrong. Okay, we live in a culture of honor. Okay, we want to honor those above us, and sometimes we just do things that are so dishonoring. And then we have this conscience and conviction, sometimes condemnation, okay, after doing all those. People who have passed over this conscience and conviction, then they have no feeling. They just continue, okay, to dishonor and disrespect those above them. And here is David having this conviction, okay, knowing that he has dishonored, okay, the Lord's anointed, okay, because he wanted to show honor. He told his men, this is not what we should do, okay. All of us who want to get even, but not David. He chose to give mercy. So can you see that God, in all that manifold wisdom of God, protecting David to preserve him, okay, protect him from doing anything that is that he will regret for the rest of his life. Can you see when David wrote Psalm 7, he said, God is my protector. All right? Do you get even or give mercy? Now, let's know that God is your protector. Number two, what will you do in time of injustice? Number two, probably you will do some self-justice. Or you allow God be the judge. Okay, let's continue to look at the story of David. Verse 8. Afterward, David also rose and went out of the cave and called after Saul, my lord the king. And Saul looked behind him, and David bowed with his face to the earth and paid homage. Can you imagine? David went out, and he had this heart attack, all right? And then he followed. He told his men, and he followed, and he came out. He didn't, like, call, oi! You know, he actually bowed down, okay? He bowed down and called his master, my lord, my king, okay? The Lord's anointed, to pay homage and all this. So for him, for King David, right, that time he's not installed as king yet, all right? Now, for him, when he looked at King Saul is the Lord's anointed, the king, his master. Okay, he has not even considered King Saul as his enemy. Okay? Only King Saul considered him the enemy, all right now. So, in verse 9, and David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, behold, David sits harm? Verse 10, behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord gave you today into my hand in the cave. And some told me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not put out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. All right, so with this, definitely for us as human, we want to respond to get justice, every injustice that we go through. But then you can see the way David declared, okay, in verse 9, he declared of his innocence, and he told David, he told King Saul, okay, why you listen to all these false charges? Why you listen to all these rumors? Okay, David also declared and said the principle that he has, that he hold on. You are the Lord's anointed. I will not do anything to harm you. Okay, to lay my hand and to kill you. Although everyone is telling me, okay, to kill you. All right, then in verse 11 to 15, you see my father, he's calling. Okay, King Saul, my father, why? Because King Saul is his father-in-law. All right, so we can have another message called my father-in-law and me. Okay, now, see my father, this see the corner of your robe in my hand. For by the fact that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, you may know and see that there is no wrong or treason in my hand. It's not my intention at all. I'm not here to kill you. I'm not here to harm you. Okay, verse 12. May the Lord judge between me and you. May the Lord avenge me against you. But my hand shall not be against you. As a proverb of the ancient says, out of the wicked comes wickedness. But my hand shall not be against you. So David presented, okay, the practical proof of the truth that he's not here, his heart is not to kill, okay, King Saul, all right? He's showing the portion of the corner of the rope to show that he meant no harm, okay, or rebel against King Saul. With that, in verse 12, you see that David solemnly declared, okay, let this judgment be of the Lord, okay, not him, okay? So he has no intention even to take justice by his own hand. And David also quoted that phrase, probably is common among them, okay, that wickedness, okay, talking about wickedness that come from the wicked, okay, for him is not, all right, out of the wicked comes wickedness. So that phrase that he used to show that I'm not the wicked, okay, they're wanting to kill, all right, that will also cause King Saul, okay, to process a bit, okay, why is he, okay, pursuing, okay, David. So when it comes to verse 14 and 15, after whom has the king of Israel come out? Okay, who are you aftering, okay? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog? After a flea? May the Lord therefore be judge and give sentence between me and you, and see to it and plead my cause and deliver me from your hand. Can you see David himself also come to a place of humility, say, he is a dead dog. He is a flea. Okay, why are you coming, okay, to kill a dead dog, okay, of a flea? David expresses, okay, his humility. Now, we all that, you know, when when David said it, may the Lord therefore be the judge. So in other words, in time of justice, injustice, will you just go on self-justice or you allow God be the judge? All right. In this case, we know that God is the righteous judge. So that's why in Psalm 7, verse 11, David could declare, okay, that God is the righteous judge, the judge that able to see everything, what is right and wrong. Because in time of justice, if the one who caused injustice can only see the lens of is limited and couldn't see the whole picture, okay, of what is going through. So David's confidence, okay, was in the justice of God and allow God be, okay, the judge, okay, of his life. Okay, what about you? All right, now, so what will you do in times of injustice? One, you inhumanly, you want to get even, or you want to allow God to be your protector and give mercy, all right? It's very hard, but if you follow God's principle, He changes the whole atmosphere, all right? Now, two is where you want your self-justice, or you allow God to be the judge. Okay, the third one is whether you choose to retaliate, or you choose to allow God to reconcile, okay, the reconciliation process to take place. Now, let's look at the following verses, okay, verse 16 onwards. As soon as David had finished speaking these words to Saul, Saul said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He said to David, "You are more righteous than I, for you have repaid me good, whereas I have repaid you evil." And verse 18, "And you have declared this day, have dealt well with me, and that you did not kill me when the Lord put me into your hands." Can you imagine that? You know, when you read that verse 16, all right, can you imagine Saul couldn't believe in his eyes, and that was really David standing in front of him, all right? And then that's why the Saul was saying, is that you? Is that your voice, my son David? So some kind of conviction, okay, or realization that come upon King Saul. So here in verse 17, 18, you could see that the moment, okay, where Saul acknowledged David's righteousness. But that also caught my attention when he said to David, "Now, David, you are more righteous than I." I'm just wondering for a while. If a person say, "Oh, you are more righteous than I," in other words, King Saul still do not have that contrition heart. Why? Because you are righteous than I. That means King Saul is saying, "I'm still righteous, you know. You are just more righteous. I'm righteous." That means for King David, King Saul is like, he's not wrong. He's not in the position of wrong. All right. So that is the story of Saul. Okay. Father-in-law and the son. All right. Now, which gives an idea that King Saul still thinking that he's right and he's not wrong. But anyway, Saul admitted that David was the godly man, and for not slaying him, and David has returned good for evil. And whether Saul is going to return evil for evil or good for evil, okay? So, or evil for evil. All right, now, let's continue. Verse 20, I hope I didn't confuse you. "And now, behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Swear to me, therefore, by the Lord, that you will not cut off my offspring after me, that you will not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David saw this to Saul. Then Saul went home, and David and his men went up to the stronghold. You know, when the last part of this story is that, oh, in this case that who is under whose mercy? And then King Saul could actually telling David, "Yes, you will surely be the king, you will be the next king." It's like everybody knows that David will be the next king, all right? Where King Saul is supposed to let go and allow David to be the next king. And he asked this. That means he come to a place that he knew when David becomes king, probably his whole tribe, okay, and his whole descendants will be wiped out. And then that is the nature, okay, of those days, how, okay, they take over, okay, the other person's kingdom, all right, now. So Saul wanted a protection, and David gave that assurance. But verse 2 was very funny, because after verse 22, what do you expect? There should be reconciliation, right? And then everybody go home together, happy, the father-in-law and son, let's go home, okay? But it wasn't like that. Okay, verse 22, Saul went home, but David and his men went back to their hiding place. He's just curious about that, right? So, is it a time to retaliate or a time to allow God's reconciliation? So the whole story, when I look at it, is can you see God's grace and mercy in this whole story that's operating in the life of David? So it's by grace of God, okay, that David, okay, was not killed. Okay, at the same time, you can see also the mercy of God, okay, that David did not kill, okay, King Saul as well, all right, now. So we can see the whole story is such, it's a story of Jesus, okay, by the grace of God that Jesus came to set us free. In time of justice, okay, when we see that everything goes wrong, everything that was just against you, but when you experience God's grace and mercy upon your life, and you will know, okay, that God, okay, is your protector, God, okay, is the righteous judge, and in this case, okay, Jesus, okay, God becomes David's vindicator, all right? That David knew, and he has such confidence. Even when Saul go home, and he and his men went back to his hiding place, David knew that he cannot force, okay, that the timing, okay, of God, okay, in due season, okay, when we learn how to humble like David, God will raise him, okay, to be the next king. So, in other words, in the due time, David become king, God become his vindicator. So, as I close, okay, in time of injustice, very challenging. I went through some time of injustice as well. Okay, stories that probably things that not proper to say as well, okay, when you go through injustice, okay, when you have people above you, okay, that treated you. So for David, as I close, is that 8 to 10 years, David was considered as an outlaw. Have you been an outlaw for 8, 10 years that you couldn't even go home? Okay, yet he fought a lot better and delivered Israel, okay, from her enemies. Do you know that 8, 10 years, although he's on the run, he defended, he went for battle and fight against Philistines and saved the people, although he's not the king yet, right? Though sometimes we are in a position that we are not in that position as well, but would you also stand up, okay, for what is right and what is wrong, okay, that you exalt, okay, the righteousness of God? But then he leave his faithful men and forsaken all those places that he continue, okay, from one place to another place because fleeing, okay, for their life. Okay, even as all his men wanting to kill David, but David refused that and chose to trust God and turn to his people. Let's not do this. Let us not get even, but allow God's mercy, allow God's judgment, okay, to take place, because David knew in Psalm 7 that the Lord is his protector, the Lord is his righteous judge, and his vindicator. Can I have a good amen? So in other words, if you are going through injustice, what would you do? Will you believe God be your protector in all those harm that come upon you, and you know that you are in a position that you just can't do anything? But will you believe that God be your protector, that you will not be harmed? Will you see that God be the righteous judge, not any other judge? Because when you read Psalms, David recognized God is not just a judge, he is a righteous judge. And then God will vindicate you from whatever stage that you are in. So likewise for Jesus, Jesus trusted God to establish his kingdom in his time and his way. You know, Jesus did not force his way through, okay, to become the king during that period, okay, when he was near to the cross. Now, 1 Peter 2:23 that says, Jesus, he never sinned nor even deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in his hand of God, who always judged fairly. Friends, our tendency is to fight. Our tendency is to go against, okay, and stand to whatever, okay, because sometimes of those moments, okay, things that inside you, you just want to fight and get even. But then when you look at the princes of God, wow, it's so different. So may the Lord help each and every one, okay, when times of injustice. Okay, allow me to pray as I end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, even as we look at the life of David, of all the injustice that he gone through, where King Saul pursued him and wanted to take his life, not only his life, but his whole team, okay, of warriors that we've seen, 600 of them. Imagine 3,000 chosen men to come after him and his men. I do not know about you. Probably you are a victim, okay, of injustice. What will you do? Okay, I want to encourage you that you don't take matters in your own hand. Probably your hurt is very real. You are angry. Okay, and some of those wounds and hurt are just beyond words. But let me pray and let's allow, okay, God, okay, to be your protector, to be, okay, your righteous judge, and to be your vindicator. I commit, Lord, dear Lord, I pray for all those who go through time for injustice and the situation is just bad, you know. Anyone who look at it is just sympathize, okay, of the condition and the situation that someone who been in, treated injustly. I pray, oh God, Lord, come, okay, and be their vindicator, be their protector, be the righteous judge, even as we look at the Psalms and how you have done so, even for David. I pray, oh God, your protection upon each one. Bless them, oh God, Lord. Turn the situation around. When things seem there's no way, God, you provide a way for them. Thank you, Lord. Send, oh God, Lord, good people. Send, oh God, Lord, righteous people, oh God, to stand alongside, okay, with each and every one of them. Father God, I pray for each and everyone here. At the same time, during this pandemic, and we see the rise, okay, of the cases are so crazy, you know, it's just beyond what we could comprehend. But Father, I pray you be the healer, you be the one who protect us. Even the season of prayer that we discipline ourselves, commit ourselves, time, kneel down and to pray, okay, for people around us and for our nation. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone say, Amen. God bless you.